Good morning, church. It's a beautiful day today. Glad you came to church today. Hopefully the Lord has a special blessing for you. I would also like to give a special welcome to anybody in our radio audience and hope that you can be blessed from what we have today. But I want to just apologize, first of all, for the first opening hymn. It wasn't the hymn that I had thought it was. I had a well-known hymn with the same title in mind, so you guys did well, but I wasn't planning on being silent in the opening hymn. So I would like to, first of all, ask you this simple question. Have you ever said something that you wished you could take back? You know, classic foot-in-mouth syndrome. I've had so many things. I was going to give you some examples, but I'm just way too embarrassed to even mention some of the things I've done and said. And there is a time when we need to be silent. There's a time when we need to just bite our tongue and just not say it. And our text, our opening text today came from Ecclesiastes, and it was Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7. To everything there is a season. And this passage of Scripture has a long list of a time for this and a time for that. But the one I want to deal with today is there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. But the Bible has a lot more about when to speak up and than when to be silent. And I'd like to, first of all, talk about just a couple of minutes about when I should speak. Meredith Hodge puts it this way: fear, lack of self-confidence, and anxiety can tempt us to keep our mouths shut when we need to boldly speak truth in love. But walking with the Lord means we must give justice to the weak and fatherless, correct oppression, utter wisdom, and plead the widow's cause. When we take a cowardly back seat to injustice, we are doing more harm than good in our silence. So just a preface before I talk about silence, there is a time to be silent, but there's definitely a time to speak up. We are also reminded that we have a gospel to present, and when it's time to speak up for Jesus Christ, we need to speak up and not be silent. So if you are being silent because of fear or lack of self-confidence, then it's time to just go ahead and put our trust in Jesus Christ. Knowing when to speak up and when to be silent is a matter that we need to pray about, because only the Holy Spirit knows what's in a person's heart. When we talk to a person, we need to have the wisdom and discernment of the Holy Spirit to guide us. And just because we are right doesn't mean that we should say it, because being right is not everything. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13 that unless we have love, that is the driving force behind everything we say, we really shouldn't even say it, because we can drive people away from Jesus Christ by saying what is truth but saying it unkindly or saying it when it's not appropriate. The first time the Bible advises us to be silent is when we are angry, when we are provoked. It is very hard to keep quiet when we have those fiery words. We just want to, you know, fight back and kick back, and, you know, our feelings have been hurt and our egos have been stomped on, and it's time to put things right. But that is really the time we need to be quiet, because when we speak words in anger, we certainly are not being led by the Holy Spirit. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger." Holding our tongue requires self-control. We read in Galatians 5 that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. As we grow in Christ, we will learn self-control. When we are provoked, let us remember that is a good time to just bite our tongues and keep silent. The scripture tells us that silence can help us to avoid sinning. Proverbs 10, verse 19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Keep talking too much, you end up in trouble. We can gain respect. Proverbs 11, 12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. We can be deemed wise if we keep silent. Our text today, he who restrains, comes from Proverbs 17, 28, starting in verse 27 and 28. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. These wise words of Solomon are things that we need to take to heart. He says in verse 28, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent. This text is, variations of it have been used throughout the ages. I like the one that Mark Twain is given credit for. It says, it is better, Mark Twain says, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. That's what I find in myself. Just be quiet, and you know, it's just a whole lot better. Sometimes you just speak things that make no sense. The next time we need to keep silence is when we are tempted to gossip. You know, loose words. In the Second World War, loose lips sink ships. And, you know, we can do a lot of damage by repeating stuff that is not true and that is partially true. And we need to remember that there's only one person who can read our hearts and read the hearts of those we're talking about. That's Jesus Christ. We don't know their motives. We don't know the circumstances that led up to these little juicy stories that we like to repeat. But Proverbs 16:28 reminds us, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. If you want to keep good friends, remember, close your mouth to gossip. And then in Proverbs 17:28, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. And then Proverbs 18:13 says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. So for those of us who are too quick to come to conclusions, this is a text for us. We need to make sure we have the facts before we start repeating stuff. The next time we need to be quiet is when we should be listening. Did you know that the word listen and the word silent contain the same letters? If you're into anagrams, that's an interesting little fact there. I'll read that in the Reader's Digest. The word listen and the word silent have the same letters. And that the fact is that if your mouth is open, you're probably not listening and you're probably not silent. Have you ever had a so-called conversation with somebody who keeps interrupting you? You're trying to tell your story, and their story, just they can't wait to get it out, and they keep trying to cutting in and interjecting their own little 2 cents worth while you're trying to tell your own. I find it to be very annoying. I don't know about you. But unfortunately, I find myself on both ends of that little problem, that bad habit. And so with some patience and some determined effort, I hope that I can keep my mouth shut when somebody else is talking. And I'm going to take a few minutes now to talk about listening, because listening is so important for us and everybody around us that I think we need to just spend some time on it. the first, I want to just, first of all, consider why should we take the effort to actively listen to somebody? Why should we give them the time? Okay? So the first reason is that person feels valued and appreciated. You know, every person is a precious child of God. That person is appreciated and valued by God. And when we just shut our mouths and just listen to them, we are showing them some respect that God would like us to show them. Point number two, when we actively listen to a person, they are more likely to be motivated and energized. Have you ever felt that? When somebody is listening to you, you feel that that your life is of value and that what you're saying is worth saying. Jack Woodford wrote that few human beings are immune to the implied flattery of rapt attention. Add to that heartfelt encouragement and affirmation, and we as Christians can build each other up. Back when I was new to public speaking, our church school teacher at the mission, her name was Cheryl Orser, was, in my way of thinking, the perfect listener. Because when I look at you across the audience, I can tell who's listening, who's snoozing, who's not paying attention. But Cheryl would sit in the audience on straight upright, her hands were in front of her, her eyes were straight on me as the speaker. She was paying rapt attention. She would nod and she would smile and she would respond to what I was saying. And it was just so encouraging for me as a speaker to know that she was totally involved in what I was saying. It made me feel that what I said needed to be of value. It needed to be something that she was worth listening to. And so it was an encouragement to me, a huge motivator. So how should we listen? Point number one, we should give our undivided attention. So what does that mean? That means putting away our cell phone, closing our laptop, turning off the TV, sitting down in front of them, put everything aside, put aside your work. If you want to actively listen to somebody, you need to pay attention to them and them only. If you're trying to multitask, you're not going to be listening to them. Scott Peck said, you cannot truly listen to anyone and do anything else at the same time. You know, we try to multitask, but it just doesn't give justice to somebody. I was reading a story about a child who was saying how much his mother loved him. And he knew that because when he spoke to her, she put aside her work. She got down his level and she listened to him one-on-one. And she knew that personal attention meant so much to him. We need to listen with our body. So I talked to you about Cheryl also, who would sit upright on her in front of the chair and face the person. Benjamin Poor wrote about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was known as a good listener. And when he was listening to somebody, he would lean forward. He would put both hands on his left knee. And then he would pay you perfect attention when you were speaking. Something that you and I can try to follow, try to do the same thing. Point number three, have patience with pauses. You know, not everybody is totally fluent, and I'm like that myself. I have to keep searching for words, trying to find words. Just be patient. The person will come up with the words eventually, and they will say it the way they want to say it. And it's a sign of respect that we just give them the right to listen, to say what they need to say. Don't interrupt somebody. Don't finish their sentences. If they pause, let them find their own words. Point number four, don't start thinking of your response while you're listening. Have you ever done that? You know, we listen in terms of what we want to say next. And we are too quick. You know, we've got our own reply coming and, you know, we're just itching to get it out. And we should be just paying full attention. And, you know, sometimes I think, man, I'm going to lose my thought, you know, and I need to say it. And we need to just trust that by the time they finish speaking, we will be able to offer them some encouragement and something which will add to what they're trying to say, and not try to outdo them, not try to beat them to what they're trying to say. So we need to pause before you respond and have faith that your best response will arise after they have finished speaking. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. That comes from Stephen Covey. The next point is listen with curiosity. Listening is not merely talking. It means taking a vigorous human interest in what is being told to us, from Alice Miller. So those are those 5 points. So just continue with other reasons why we should listen. So sometimes a good reason to listen is for the benefit of the person who is speaking. It's not for our benefit, but it's for them. Another story of Abraham Lincoln. He invited an old neighbor to Washington because he had some problems he wanted to discuss with him. Abraham Lincoln talked to him for hours about the advisability of issuing a proclamation to free the slaves. Without even asking his opinion, Abraham Lincoln shook his hand and sent him on his way. Abraham Lincoln did not need the man's opinion, but needed a listening, sympathetic, friendly ear to clarify his thinking and unburden himself. Sometimes that is what we need the most. A listening ear can be a huge help to a person trying to figure out the next step. And I'm thinking that Abraham Lincoln knew when he invited this neighbor that this person would be a good listener. He didn't need to speak to somebody who was going to interrupt him or give him advice. The last point why we should listen is that we might just learn something. You know, everybody is an expert on some subject. They're good at something. And if we can get them talking about what they're interested in, we can learn a lot. It's a free education for us. And it can be very interesting. It can make me a smarter person. The next time we need to be quiet is when we are contemplating God. Psalms 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Jesus, our perfect example, who came to interact with humanity, felt it necessary to spend time alone, spend time in silence with God. After a busy day of helping people, he would leave the disciples and leave the maddening crowd, and he would head off into the hills, and he would find time with God alone. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." We can't commune with God when everything is rushing, and when there's noise around us and people are demanding our attention. And it was from the quiet time alone with God that Jesus gained the strength to withstand the constant demands of his life, and so it is time alone with Jesus Christ and with God that we can gain the strength to withstand the challenges of our own lives. Silence is a sign of respect or honor. Habakkuk reminds us in chapter 2, verse 20, "Jehovah is in his holy temple. Keep silence before him, all the earth." You know, our church here today, we've invited Jesus Christ in our presence, and it's only a sign of respect for Jesus Christ that we keep silence in his holy temple. A construction site is normally a very noisy place. In this day and age, there's circular saws, there's hammers, there's nail guns, and there's people yelling back and forth. But when the temple in Jerusalem was built, God gave very special instructions, instructions which were so different from any other construction site. He says, do all your hammering and your sawing and your measuring somewhere else, but build a temple in silence. When the temple in Jerusalem was built, there was no sound of hammering and yelling crews and everything else. The temple was built in silence. This should give us a clue as to where God expects us to act in his presence. When Jesus was on earth, perhaps the most close to anger maybe that you ever saw Jesus was when he drove the money changers and the merchants out of the temple. They were being disrespectful in the house of God. And Jesus loves our praises. He loves it when we sing praises to him, the praise of children and adults blending together in his praise is music to his ears. But the sound of non-religious transactions of money and talk of everyday things is not really what we should be doing in God's house. We cannot experience communion with God with distractions from all sides. It takes a personal decision to put down the cell phone, to turn off the TV, turn off the computer. But it is important for our own spiritual relationship with God that we find a quiet place every day, a quiet time far from the distractions of life, a time to think and a time to pray and a time to study. And so it is my invitation to you, be still. And my invitation is God's invitation to you. God invites us today, be still and know that I am God.